This is Agriculture Today.
President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping held a high-profile phone call focused on diplomatic and economic issues, including potential increases in Chinese purchases of U.S. soybeans. It's a topic that sent soybean futures sharply higher in early trading after that announcement. The call, described by Trump as very positive, touched on trade, security issues, and plans for future engagement between the two nations' leaders. Now, Trump took to his Truth Social platform following the call, posting he had just completed an excellent conversation with Xi, in which they discussed a range of subjects, including trade, Taiwan, and ag purchases. He said China was considering buying about 20 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans this season, up to 25 million metric tons next season. And that post helped spark an intraday rally in bean futures, bringing prices to their highest levels of 2026 before settling back somewhat later in the session. While Trump emphasized the strength of his personal relationship with Xi and framed China's interest in U.S. ag purchases as a positive outcome, Chinese government statements focused on broader diplomatic concerns like Taiwan and regional stability, offering no specific confirmation of purchase commitments from Beijing. Now, market analysts note that despite the rally, China's actual buying behavior remains uncertain, particularly given ongoing competition from cheaper Brazilian soybeans and structural trade patterns that have shifted China's import mix in recent years. You know, U.S. and Indian negotiators are nearing completion of an interim trade framework that could modestly reshape ag trade between the two countries, with tariff relief, clearer rules, and reduced non-tariff barriers at the center of discussions. While final text has not yet been released, officials on both sides describe the agreement as being in its final technical stages. Now, for U.S. ag, the deal is expected to focus less on sweeping market openings and more on incremental access. Likely beneficiaries include oil seeds and vegetable oils, cotton, specialty crops like tree nuts, and select feed ingredients, depending on how sanitary and phytosanitary rules are addressed. India emphasized politically sensitive sectors like dairy and biotechnology will remain protected. India, meanwhile, seeking another smooth access to the U.S. market for rice, processed foods, spices, and seafood, along with more predictable custom procedures. Now, much of the practical value may come from reducing regulatory friction rather than actual tariff cuts. But if finalized, the agreement would provide exporters on both sides with greater certainty, even if its scope proves limited. So what's the takeaway here? Incremental trade clarity with India could support select U.S. ag exports. Major gains, though, hinge on future market access talks. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
If tariffs aren't inflationary, and as you and the president like to say, are paid for by a foreign country, a tariff on coffee or bananas shouldn't raise the price of either for American consumers. Well, that's the Trump logic, but that isn't reality.
Ranking member of the House Financial Services Committee from California, Maxine Waters. Grilling Scott Bessent, Treasury Secretary.
It did raise prices across the board. And you know what? I think you knew back in July also. The real question is, why would you even impose a tariff on a good that a country doesn't grow or make, as that would only serve to punish the American consumer? Now, as you know, this committee has taken a bipartisan approach to addressing another real affordability crisis, housing. Rents are too high. There aren't enough houses. However, one clear reason that the housing crisis has grown worse is that you and the rest of the Trump administration levied tariffs on housing production goods like lumber and steel, as well as appliances. These tariffs
Reclaiming my time.
Thank you. However, one clear reason that the housing crisis is going worse is that you and the rest of the Trump administration levied tariffs on housing production goods like lumber and steel, as I said, as well as appliances. These tariffs will result in 500,000 fewer homes built at a time when we need more homes built, not less. Trump single-handedly made housing more expensive. And once again, you know it. As Axios has reported, that you were planning to lift tariffs on housing production goods. In addition, the unlawful campaign the Trump administration has waged with ICE and Border Patrol terrorizing American communities has also harmed home construction across America. So I ask you, Secretary Bessent, will you be the voice of reason in the administration and urge Trump to stop waging a war on American consumers and on housing affordability and putting the economy at risk? Yes or no? You don't have to explain.
Representative Waters,
will you be the voice? Will you be the voice of reason?
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Mr. Chair, will you let him know that when I ask him
time does belong to the woman from California.
10 and 20 million immigrants
took
up the housing stock of working Americans, and can you maintain some level of dignity?
General Labor's time has expired.
No, my time has not expired.
Your time has expired.
And Bessent followed up.
I believe the ranking member does not understand the definition of generalized inflation versus one-time price increases. I would also note that housing, especially for working Americans, a Wharton study has shown that the mass unfettered immigration, adding 10 to 20 million new people demanding housing, Congresswoman, is what caused a great deal of housing inflation for working Americans. So you and the Biden administration should be ashamed.
Which is also why we are seeing rents. There was just a recent media story on this. Rents are going down partially because of that enforcement. Mr. Secretary.
Yes, supply and demand continues to work.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The complexity of the law that Congress passed is part of it. The reliance upon using a carbon model to determine the carbon intensity of the fuel and the feedstock is a part of it.
Kurt Kavarik is Vice President, Federal Affairs, Clean Fuels Alliance America, looking at the latest from the Treasury Department and the 45Z rules.
Keep in mind a little bit of history on this. So the biodiesel industry has benefited from a $1 per gallon blender's tax credit that was put in place in the mid-2000s all the way in through 2024. The Clean Fuel Production Credit was created in a law that passed in August of 2022. The Biden administration left office in January of 25 with very little guidance in the implementation of it. In fact, what they did put out was more confusing to the marketplace than clarity. And then in July of last year, Congress passed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which actually expanded, improved, and extended the Clean Fuel Production Credit. So the Trump administration had essentially been working since July of last year, once Congress passed that bill with those changes, to put forward this implementing policy and guidance. So that's what we have that came out today. So I don't necessarily fault the Trump administration for the timing. We were behind the curve even before the Trump administration came into office. Then you had Congress sort of rewrite the bill midway, and the policy itself is not uncomplicated. So unfortunately, throughout this entire time, though, our industry has really been in the lurch to some extent. Lack of clarity meant lack of certainty. That compounded with low RVOs meant that our industry in 2025 was operating well below our capacity. It was really a tough year. A lot of plants idled, many operating at reduced capacity. This is one step forward that I hope. Again, we're just starting now to kind of dig into it, so we're obviously going to be looking to our members for clarity and concerns that they may have. But I'm hopeful that this is a big step forward in terms of answering a lot of questions, providing some certainty to help the marketplace, you know, rejuvenate to some extent, add value to that soybean or that canola, get the fuel produced and get it to the marketplace, creating jobs, creating domestic energy dominance, creating rural economic development.
And part of the new rules limits the credit to domestic feedstock.
As Congress recrafted the law, they base it on a production credit rather than a blending credit, which means the fuel has to be produced in the United States to be eligible. In this proposed guidance, there's a lot of time spent to what produced means to ensure that we don't have, you know, some players who are up to no good who basically will import some fuel, make a slight modification to it in the United States and argue that it was produced here. That's obviously important both to safeguard the domestic industry, but make sure that we're not seeing fraud or abuse of this tax credit. The second thing that Congress did in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act of July of 2025 was restrict the feedstocks that would be eligible to those that are produced in the United States, Canada, or Mexico. So this regulation, this proposed guidance, does not upend that in any way, simply reiterates what Congress dictated in the statute, and that their guidance, you know, further reiterates that point that it must be produced in the United States with feedstocks produced or grown in Canada, the United States, or Mexico.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
That commitment is why I introduced the Main Street Capital Access Act with Subcommittee of Financial Institutions Chair Andy Barr last month.
Chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, French Hill from Arkansas.
Our community banking package is designed to revitalize local bank formation, right-size regulations that are intended for far larger and more complex institutions, ensure that community lenders can focus on serving our families, small businesses, and our local economies. This bill also aligns with the administration's efforts to right-size regulation and reflects the committee Republicans' dedication to ensuring that financial operations focus on safety and soundness with a tailored approach to supervisory complexity. Similarly, our bipartisan Housing for the 21st Century Act addresses housing affordability head-on by reducing the burdens that have made homes and apartment construction untenable. Improving affordability requires directly expanding the housing supply. Paired with Main Street Capital Access, Americans will benefit from more homes and more affordable ways to finance them.
Hill presiding over a committee hearing with Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
Thank you for inviting me to discuss the Financial Stability Oversight Council's 2025 annual report. This report is a culmination of extensive collaboration amongst FSOC members. I'd like to thank them for their hard work and dedication in advancing the President's bold vision for a better America. Since day one, President Trump has focused on building parallel prosperity, an era of economic expansion where Wall Street and Main Street can grow together. To that end, Treasury has tirelessly pursued pro-growth policies to unlock the potential available to all Americans when they are free to save, invest, build businesses, and drive their own economic destinies. The Financial Stability Oversight Council plays an important role in delivering on this agenda. Too often in the past, we have seen regulation by reflex. Rather than preempting crises, regulators have frequently reacted to them after the fact. They played the role of a hazmat cleanup team instead of preventing dangerous spillovers in the first place. Regulation by reflex has led to a regulatory myopia that has undermined safety and soundness.
And again, when it comes to small and rural community banks.
Chairman Hill, as I've said, it's Main Street's turn, and essential for Main Street's having its turn are the small and community banks. And I would note that thanks to onerous regulation, and as you and I both say, community and small banks became too small to succeed. Tragically, more than 50% of our community banks have disappeared since the great financial crisis, not during, since. There have been virtually no de novo banks created, whereas before the GFC, there were more than 50 per year. And small and community banks not only are the anchor for community-based lending, but they provide the bulk of the lending for agriculture, for small real estate loans, and for small business loans. So a thriving community bank infrastructure and ecosystem is essential. I've met with more individually and in roundtables with more than 200 community bankers. I've spoken at conferences with more than 1,000, and tailoring is essential. I had one banker from my home state in South Carolina with assets of about $200 million tell me that under the previous regulatory regime, she was told that she should be more like Bank America, the second largest bank in the country. And so it is essential that we have the right tailoring, right risk levels, and right monitoring of these important institutions.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Just prior to President Trump's visit to Iowa a week ago, Clean Fuels sent the president a letter and essentially highlighted the ability of the biomass-based diesel industry to deliver on his goals of domestic energy dominance, rural economic development, and value-added agriculture.
How can soybeans replace China? Kurt Kavarik with the Clean Fuels Alliance America.
As you know, the domestic drive for renewable fuels is leading to kind of a renaissance throughout the Midwest in terms of investment in soy crush. We've seen about a $6 billion investment expanding the domestic soy crush by at least 25 to 30%, kind of unheard of in recent years. And that's primarily driven by the demand for soybean and canola oil for the biomass-based diesel industry. We're right now value of at least 10% of the bushel of soybeans. If you think about a soybean, the value of a soybean right now, 50% of that value in the soybean is the oil. Half of that oil goes into the food market. The other half goes into the biodiesel market. The food side of the demand equation has been pretty stagnant, maybe growing at a fraction. The biodiesel demand is growing exponentially. So the letter to the president that we sent was to highlight two policies that are fully within the authority of this administration that could go a long way to delivering that value-added agriculture, value-add for America's soybean farmers. The first is finalizing robust renewable volume obligations, way past due. We're nearing the finish line. We're hopeful that we'll have them by the end of March at the latest, finalizing them along the lines of what the EPA proposed. Extraordinarily robust volumes would be an enormous positive step for our industry. The second policy that we suggested the president address is getting proposed guidance out for the 45Z clean fuel production credit. This is the tax credit that exists for all low-carbon fuels based on carbon intensity produced here in the United States. We're very pleased and very welcomed the proposed guidance that Treasury revealed today. It's about 170, 180 pages long, so we're still in the process of going through it. But an enormous step forward in terms of providing certainty to our industry and clearing up a lot of areas where there was lack of clarity on how this tax incentive was going to work, how it was going to be claimed, calculating the value of the credit, all of those things. So two enormous items on the president's agenda. We're very pleased to see progress on the tax credit. We're hopeful that we'll soon see progress on the renewable volume obligations.
And the timeline?
Our expectation is it will be published Wednesday. That will start the clock, really. They've indicated a 60-day comment period. So stakeholders, taxpayers will have an opportunity to try to digest this, submit comments to the agency for their consideration. Then they will digest those comments, have a public hearing, respond to those comments as much as possible, and then publish a final rule probably sometime this summer. While, you know, this tax credit took effect in January 1 of 2025, so getting final guidance in the summer of 2026 is certainly far from ideal. There's a lot of language in this proposal that essentially acts as a safe harbor or to some degree a reliance clause so that taxpayers can reasonably rely upon this, operate their businesses based on this. So that's what I mean. Even though it's not final, in my view, I'm hopeful that it goes a long way to providing enough certainty and clarity to producers and taxpayers that they can act on it.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Under President Biden, the bank regulators preoccupied themselves with reputation risk, climate-related financial risk, and other risks with no clear nexus to safety and soundness.
Testifying before the House Financial Services Committee on Wednesday, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
At the same time, they centered supervision on management and other governance matters that distracted examiners and banks' risk managers from the real risk to safety and soundness. The result, predictably, was the second, third, and fourth largest bank failures in U.S. history in 2023. Besides undermining safety and soundness, regulation by reflex has driven excessive regulation that can lead to economic stagnation. And economic stagnation is itself a grave threat to financial stability. In calibrating regulations, federal agencies must avoid the temptation to create a zero-risk financial system, which would result in what others have called the stability of the graveyard. FSOC should aim to identify vulnerabilities that could lead to systemic crises and encourage the private sector to mitigate those risks before recommending additional regulation. FSOC should also work with its members to support efforts to avoid or pare back existing regulation that stifles pro-growth lending, capital formation, and innovation. And the best way to achieve these goals is by centering economic growth and economic security at the heart of FSOC's agenda. Promoting economic growth and economic security is essential to ensuring financial stability. Economic growth strengthens household, business, and financial institution balance sheets, creating capital buffers that reduce the risk of defaults and financial stress. And economic security reinforces domestic production capacity, raising living standards while reducing vulnerability to external shocks and supply chain disruptions. FSOC's annual report prioritizes economic growth and economic security accordingly, with a specific focus on four policy areas: treasury markets, cybersecurity, regulatory modernization, and AI. First, the Council is ensuring that the U.S. Treasury market remains the deepest and most liquid in the world. The Council is supporting efforts by member agencies to strengthen this market against future shocks, including through the Interagency Working Group on Treasury Market Surveillance and the Market Resilience Working Group. Ongoing monitoring and targeted reforms by individual agencies remain essential to financial stability. Second, the Council is taking action to protect our financial system from increasingly sophisticated cyber attacks. Nation-state actors and criminal groups continue to target our financial institutions and infrastructure. To address this risk, the Council is supporting expanded information sharing, joint monitoring, and scenario-based exercises, and it is emphasizing the need for regulated firms to manage cyber risks tied to third-party service providers. Third, the Council is committed to supporting efforts to modernize supervisory and regulatory frameworks for banks and credit unions. Going forward, regulation and supervision should address material risk, enhance transparency, and reduce unnecessary burdens, particularly for small and community banks. Fourth, the Council is prioritizing the responsible use of artificial intelligence to strengthen financial stability. The Council is working with public and private partners, including international counterparts, to enhance system resilience while closely monitoring emerging risk. I will close by highlighting our progress in enhancing the utility of our annual report. In this year's report, FSOC shifted away from its past approach, where nearly every major market and financial sector was described as a financial stability vulnerability. By introducing a new structure centered on fostering economic growth and security, we're tuning out the noise to concentrate on the issues that matter most for U.S. financial stability.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.